Alberta country artist Gord Bamford is riding high on the country charts with singles from his latest CD. It's his fifth CD, in fact, called Is It Friday Yet? So far, those songs we've come to know and love include the title track, as well as Leaning on a Lonesome Song, Disappearing Taillights, Farm Girl Strong, and the current single, Must Be a Woman. My pleasure now to welcome Gord Bamford to the show. Hey, Gord.
How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing just great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well.
It's good to hear. It is pretty exciting with the CD out, Is It Friday Yet? Of course, the title track seems to be a lot of people's theme song. It makes them feel good no matter what day of the week you play it. It gets you pumped up for Friday.
Yeah, you know, probably the only day people don't like it is on a Monday. But, you know, it's been really good to me. It's an anthem song that was a great lead single and it's been very popular, in Canada with all the country fans, for sure.
Now, all artists, of course, want those anthem songs that people sing along to and feel good about. Can you sit down and purposely write one? That's your objective when you go into the session. Let's write an anthem and get everybody singing along.
Well, I think it's important to make sure that your music, reaches out to everybody and it's very singable, I guess you can say. And country music's easy to write about anthem stuff that way, whether it's about having fun or whether it's about kids. But, for me, I try to make sure that, my songs connect with a whole bunch of different people, not just a whole bunch of different eras of people, I guess, from the ages to 5 to 85.
Yep.
It's important.
And that's what is great about country music, as you say. I mean, there are songs in it that young people can identify with, older people. It's all the different stages of life, moments in life. And your music encompasses that. And, in fact, you've got a couple of great songs that are about your kids, but, of course, anybody listening can take it to mean their own. My Daughter's Father, as well as Little Guy, two songs that you wrote about your own kids.
Yeah, no, Little Guy was actually written 4 hours after Nash was born, my only son, who's 8 now, and My Daughter's Father was actually not written by me. It was actually written by Byron Hill, and I'd written a song for my little girls, and I played it for my oldest, and believe it or not, she told me she didn't like it, so I put that away, and Byron sent me that song, and it was the number one played song on Canadian radio last year. It's been a huge song for me, and anybody that's a dad can relate to it, and whether it's a dad of whether it's your dad or whether it's the father of a child, it's really a great song and an impact song for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people can relate to that song, of course, and they hold it close to them because it has that much meaning. You mentioned Byron Hill. He's been your producer on so many of these albums, your latest and your upcoming one as well. A lot of people will remember Byron Hill, of course. Well, he's a huge songwriter, George Strait, Foolhearted Memory, and the list goes on and on and on. How did the two of you hook up and start this great team?
Yeah, you know, Byron's just been a blessing to me. He's really been a mentor, you know, as far as my success goes. But he wrote a song called God's Green Earth, which is my very first record. That was the first single that I put out, and I just sent him the record, and I was just checking his website one day. I didn't know him from anything, and he was going on and on about this Canadian that I just sent him a record and how great he thought this Canadian kid was, and sure like to meet him and work with him one day. And I kept reading down, and it was actually talking about me, so it was pretty cool. And I contacted him after that, and he was working for Universal Records at the time in Nashville, and I went down to their big offices and met with him, and it was pretty intimidating, but you know, he was just very interested in shopping my stuff around Nashville, and then eventually, you know, starting to write with me and really kind of teach me the way of songwriting and what it takes to be a great songwriter and artist. And he's really become one of my best friends, to be honest with you. This is the last five projects we've done together. And of course he's a world-class songwriter producer. He discovered Gary Allen and Kathy Mattea and produced that Smoke Rings in the Dark record for Gary Allen. And he was a great singer himself. So he's got, if you're interested in him, just go to ByronHillMusic.com. And he's got some great records that it would really surprise you. He's a really great singer, and he writes some great songwriter records.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, the start of that whole story is kind of a lesson, I guess, to anybody out there in the music business, that you never know when you reach out to somebody that they might be willing to listen and to help you out. And that's what happened with you, and that's a pretty amazing story.
Yeah, you know, I've always reverted back to that. If you don't ask, or you don't try, or you don't make the initial step to get somewhere, it never happens. I mean, you can't have something if you don't want it. And you know, you really got to want it, and you got to be willing to work hard, and then you really got to be open minded, and you got to be, you know, very willing to let somebody of that caliber pick your songs apart and tell you what you're not doing right and what you should be doing. And it's really kind of like an apprenticeship. I look at it like anybody that wants to be a carpenter or an electrician or a doctor or anything like that. I mean, they go to school, they go and they study and they become good at what they do by learning. And it's kind of the school of music through Byron Hill is kind of what I got to go through. And, you know, it's been awesome.
That's a great way of putting it, because you can't learn from anybody better than that. And you guys have obviously developed that songwriting chemistry. Are you at the point now where the two of you pretty much know to a certain extent what each other's thinking, and you can just get into one of the songwriting sessions and it really flows quite naturally?
Yeah, you know what, Dave, for sure. I mean, sometimes you click with people and sometimes you don't. But Byron and I have, knock on wood, I've never had a writer's block. I mean, and this is be very surprising to you, but almost every song we've written has been written in under 2 hours together, you know, so, and we've written a lot of them.
Wow.
So it's been great. He's also brought in, you know, world-class writers in the country music genre to collaborate with me and him. And now I've been able to write with lots of great guys on this new record we just made. And you know, Byron's really great that way. He's all about just the great song and what it takes to get it. It's not a greed thing. It's not something that he has to write or I have to write. I mean, we're just really believe in putting out great songs, and it kind of starts and ends there. I mean, if you don't have a great song, you can't get on the radio. And there's lots of great songwriters out there that I've been able to work with and get songs from, really.
Now, he's had songs, of course, recorded by George Strait, and I mean, that's every songwriter's dream, is to have George Strait sing one of their songs. Gord, in your catalog of songs that you've written so far, do you have a song that you think is perfect for George Strait?
You know, there's quite a few there for George. You know, we've been close. I've pitched a bunch of stuff at George, and we've actually got an Easton Corbin hold right now on stuff, which he's kind of George sound. I mean, we've been really close on that song, Honky Tonks and Heartaches, with George a couple times. You know, I have a publishing deal with Olay, and And that was just in the last year. So they're, my stuff's really getting shopped now in the world. So it's, you know, it's good. I think, you know, some of the big hits I've had here in Canada on my own are, have potential to get recorded again, and you never know what happens.
Oh, for sure. What I love about your music and what everybody loves is the fact that it is traditional. It is, I mean, you listen to your music and you don't have to ask that question, is it country? I mean, it simply is. That's really very important to you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to get away from how I sound. I mean, I'm a country singer and I love it, and that's where my heart is. But I mean, you have to, if you're an entrepreneur and you're a businessman, you need to kind of go with the flow a little bit. And this new record is a little bit, production-wise, is kind of what radio's playing nowadays. Nowadays,
yeah.
What they call country music on radio. But, you know, you're never going to get away from the voice. I mean, that's kind of what attracted me to Byron, I think, is he thought that I had a unique voice that nobody else had. And he said that's kind of what it takes to develop a superstar. I mean, I'm not a superstar by any means, but we're still working on that. And I think the uniqueness of my sound is very distinctive, and it's something that doesn't sound like anybody else. And I think that's the biggest step for an artist, is to try and find that sound that nobody else has. And that when you come on the radio, people know exactly who it is. It's no different than
yep.
George Strait or Alan Jackson or Garth Brooks. They all, you know who that is, Blake Shelton. I mean, so that's kind of what we've tried to do. And I mean, that's never going to change. I mean, but we have to stay up to times, and we have to make records that radio is going to play, obviously.
Oh, for sure. That's very cool, and we'll talk more about the new album. I think it's great. As you said, it starts with your voice, but if you can add in the modern production techniques and all that kind of stuff and stay current, that's also a great thing to incorporate into your sound. And, in fact, a song recently, I guess in the last couple of years, that kind of had that thing going on, a more modern sound, was the Colt Ford song you did, Chicken and Biscuits, where I guess he did the sort of rap recitation part and you did the beautiful chorus on it. I love that pairing of the two of you.
Yeah, I know, it was great. And we just did another one called Back. Unfortunately, the radio hasn't really grabbed him here in Canada. But I have a new song on my record that's a lot like that. It's just me. It's kind of, I'm actually doing a little bit of, I call it hick hop. It's kind of what it is. So I got a bit of, and I don't know if you remember a Kenny Chesney song a few years back where he kind of was talking in the verses and then singing the choruses. And I forget the name of it, but it's a lot like that.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was the song I Do a Lot of Things Different.
Yeah, it might be that one. I just can't remember, but I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
It's the top one because of the Colt Ford thing for me, and you know, I don't want people to think that's why I'm doing it, but it's different. You know, it's a different topic, and you know, it's been fun to work with Colt. He's been a great guy, and you know, one thing I like about him is he's trying different things, and it's you know, it's always that unique different sound that, you know, one day eventually explodes. I mean, but it's always taking that chance as an artist to try and do that. It's a tough one. We have a band that we've signed to our record label through Sony called the Boomchucka Boys, and they're exactly that. I mean, nobody sounds like them. They're out of the box, so it kind of scares people. But, you know, it's that sort of thing that I think artists need to think a little bit more on and not follow the trend of what's working, but go against the grain a little bit. And I think that's how you can have success.
That's a very good point you make, and as you said, sort of in the beginning when somebody's doing something different, it might not work or it might take longer, but you stick to that, and in the end that you're going to have some success because you're unique.
Yeah, I think sticking to what you do best is the way to go. I mean, like I said, I call it radio-friendly production is what we do on my records, but you're never going to get away from the country boy, you know, that grew up in rural Alberta singing country music. I mean, that's who I am, and that's what I think people are attracted to with me, and there's tons of country music fans out there, and they're everywhere, so, you know, it's working.
Now, your mom was a singer. You moved here, you moved to Alberta from Australia when you were just 5 years old, and your mom was a singer herself, so obviously that's where a lot of this came from.
Yeah, you know, my mom, actually my dad sang in a band too, and he's an Aussie. He lives in Australia, but my mom sang a lot in church, and you know, music was always in our family. But I grew up on Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash, and my grandpa played all that stuff. You know, Vern Gosselin, and that was what I loved. And as a young kid, I wanted to be, you know, Merle Haggard. And then when I grew up, a little bit. It was Garth Brooks that kind of really tugged on my country music strings. But, you know, I never really – the funny thing is, if somebody asked me if I knew anything outside of country music, like, I probably wouldn't. That's all I listen to. I mean, I went to Taylor Swift last night with my two daughters and my son and my wife to check that out. But nice. The good thing about a Taylor Swift show is the guys' washroom is really easy to get into because it's all full of young girls.
I love it. That's great. Oh man, was it a great show? I'm sure it was.
Yeah, well, it's unbelievable. I mean, the stage show, and I mean, she's probably working with a $500,000 show budget per night, but she's definitely a marketing machine, and you got to tip your hat to her. She definitely found her market, it's like a Cirque du Soleil Disney type show. It's, I would recommend going to see it. You know, I shouldn't say this, but I mean, I wouldn't buy a Taylor Swift record myself, but I think she's incredibly talented and singer songwriter, and her live show was definitely world class. It was my daughters didn't sit down; they were singing all night long.
Do you think your children are any of them at this point showing any musical ability, musical talent?
Yeah, they are actually. My son's into his baseball and hockey, but they all got great voices. My oldest Paisley, she's really, you know, shows potential. You know, but I just really want my kids to be kids, and you know, whatever they decide to do in life, we'll support them. And I'm never going to push that. I mean, Paisley has sang with me on television before and done a few things, but I mean, she just needs to be a kid, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, that's very important. Let's turn to a song now, Farm Girl Strong, Gord, from your current album. Of course, Is It Friday Yet? Website is gordbamford.com. People can check out some of the song samples there and also buy the song from the website, also from iTunes. But tell us about the song Farm Girl Strong.
Yeah, you know, do you remember a band by the name of McBride and the Ride?
I sure do. Love them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wore that stuff out when I was younger, and I had a chance to meet Terry McBride. He was playing bass guitar with Brooks and Dunn on their farewell tour here in Canada, which I had a chance to be a part of. And we hit it off, and I went to Nashville and wrote some songs with Terry. He was working with this girl from Oklahoma, and he said, you know, trying to describe this girl to me, and he said she's a real farm girl strong type girl. And I looked at him, and I said, that's what we're going to write today, Farm Girl Strong. So, you know, that's how that happened. But it's, you know, it's really an anthem for all women that you don't have to be a farm girl. I mean, you can be from the city, you can be from anywhere. And it's just an anthem song again for women. And it's done really well for us. It's a lot of fun to play live, and it's been a good single.
This is Gord Bamford and Farm Girl Strong on In the Country.
Her mama was a bona fide Oklahoma cutie. Her daddy drove a tractor his whole life long. It runs in her blood. She's farm girl strong. She hits the ground running before the dawn cracks. Pulls up her ponytail through her baseball cap. Zips up her coverall, slips her work boots on. It runs in her blood. She's farm girl strong. But when the work day's done, she'll get dressed up, head into town in her pickup truck. Her jeans are tight and her legs are long. Man, she's a looker. She's farm girl strong. She cooks a meal. If something breaks down, she knows how to fix it. She likes a nice cold beer and a three-chord song. It runs in her blood. She's farm girl strong.
Alberta country artist Gord Bamford and Farm Girl Strong here on In the Country. And as you said, Gord, it's an anthem and it's a song for women everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like I said, it's a lot of fun to play live, and the ladies have sure certainly liked it. So
nice. Let's talk about the new album, because you mentioned that you've got it all wrapped and done. Byron Hill was the producer. You mentioned sort of some new sounds we might hear from you. Can you give us some other hints about what is going to be on this upcoming album?
Well, you know, it's our sixth record, and I mean, when you have success, you know, it's great, but it's also really scary. I mean, you try to think of how you're going to, you know, do better, because, I mean, I'm always a guy that wants to be better all the time, you know, and this is no different putting this record together. And I think I said this on the last record, but this is kind of Gord Bamford on steroids, I guess. You know, it's about 50 times any other record. I mean, I'm really very proud of it. I'm extremely excited about it. It's a whole new sound for me. I guess it's not to scare anybody. I mean, it's like I said, it's radio catered production, but it's, I think just the quality of songs we got on it are even a step better. And I'm just extremely excited for the record to come out. And it was tough to pick it. I cut about 26 songs, and I think the album has 14 on it. So it's tough to pick it. But now we're going to go deep with it. We're going to go about 6 or 7 singles on this record, which most people don't do. So, I mean, the industry's changing so much nowadays. It's really become a single-driven business, and iTunes is really taking over. So, you know, I think that, I try to put records together that I could kind of throw a dart at and put anything on the radio and have success. So that I've always been a fan of great records, and I've always kind of been angry when I go buy albums that have a lot of album fillers on it. I just feel kind of ripped off. And that's the way I've kind of been with all my records, wanting to make sure whether 1 to 10 or 1 to 12 or 1 to 14 right through are great songs, you know. And basically you can stick that album in and take an hour and a half drive and not skip through a song. And that's what we try to do again on this one. So we're really excited about it.
That's a great approach, because I was going to ask you how tough the decision is to choose a single, whether it's you and a team and how you come to that decision. But it sounds like, as you said, almost any song you would consider to be a single. But when you're coming down to that decision, do you find that everybody agrees on the timing of the next single and which one it should be?
No, there's not lots of agreeing going on. My deal's a unique deal. I own the record label. But it's distributed through Sony Music Canada and serviced through Sony. So basically it's a service deal for Sony. So, I mean, it really, at the end of the day, all the control remains 100% with me and my team. But I mean, when you're signed to a powerhouse label like that, you obviously, their consultation is very important. I mean, they know what they're doing. So, me and Warren Kopnik have lots of battles over singles, and he voices his opinion, I voice mine, and at the end of the day, I'm a little bit bigger than he is, so it just sometimes I win those battles, and sometimes I don't. But he's been a great Sony and Warren have been great knowledge, it's a little bit new for them too. It's tough because I came into the deal with them already established, and they're usually developing somebody, so, and they're usually financing everything, so they control it. But we sit down, this new record, we've kind of picked singles on it. It's the first time that we've really agreed on almost everything, so good start anyways.
Awesome. That's good to hear. Now, in a couple of weeks, when we get into July, you're sharing the stage with Reba for a couple of shows. I understand a second show was just added. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, I've just recently signed a co-management deal with Ron Sakamoto, and Ron's icon in Canadian music as a promoter, and with that comes lots of great opportunities for me, not only in Canada but hopefully in America, and that's the first of a couple of shows with Reba, and hopefully many more. I mean, a big fan of Reba. I have been since I was a kid, and she's definitely an icon in country music, and obviously a very classy lady that lots of female country singers probably have looked up to and still do. So it's definitely a great opportunity and something that obviously I'll never forget.
Definitely. That sounds like sounds like a couple of great nights, very memorable nights in store. Now, you did a duet a few years back with Jesse Farrell, a lovely song on one of your albums. So I wanted to ask you, Gord, are there any more duets planned in the future, either on the current record, or do you have a dream duet partner, somebody that you feel the two of your voices would go very well together?
Well, I mean, Reba would be awesome, but I mean, yeah, you know, Jesse, we did that way back when, and I'm not sure. I think she had a baby, so she's probably being a mom now. But I've been actually talking with Joe Diffie about doing something on this new record, so I'm just waiting to see if he gets clearance from his record label. But you know,
that'd be cool.
Joe might be arguably one of the best country singers that's ever lived. So I mean, that would be a cool thing for me.
And, of course, he's got some extra fame these days with Jason Aldean's song 1994 with the JoJo Diffie part.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to fly back from Nashville, and Joe was on the flight, and we had a nice chat. He was a really nice man, and it was pretty cool to be able to hang out and talk with him. And, you know, his career has kind of got revived with that song is kind of what he was saying. So hopefully it does, because he's definitely country voice that we need to hear on country radio, that's for sure.
Yeah, he had so many great songs, and he was able to do the really country sound, and yet he, you know, had a song like Bigger Than the Beatles, which, you know, was a very contemporary song at the time.
Yeah, you know, John Deere Green and all that stuff. I mean, I remember being in junior high and high school listening to that stuff. But, you know, George Strait, I mean, any of those guys to do a duet with, Merle Haggard would be the ultimate, but... as far as females go, probably Reba. You know, it'd be. Yeah, I heard sometimes she gets her opening act up to sing with her. So maybe you never know. We'll see.
that'd be awesome. Your video director for most of your videos, Stefano Barberis, of course, award-winning Canadian music video director. He did Is It Friday Yet for you? What is it like working with him, Gordon? How comfortable are you at this point with doing videos?
Well, I mean, every director's different. I've worked with many of them, but Stefano's been a great one. He's going to do the first video for this new record as well. But it's probably one part of the business, Dave, that I don't really like. You know, it's I'm a bit shy when it comes to that, and you know, it's just something. If I didn't have to do something, if there's one thing I didn't have to do, it'd be that. You know, but at the same time, it's very important. Very important to do them and get your face out there. And I just kind of leave the creative control up to those guys and throw in my two cents. You know, sometimes those guys write some crazy things that you go, what are you talking about? But, you know, it usually comes off all right. So I'm pretty traditional. I like to do things real simple. I think that's the best way. I think country music's simple. It's, you know, if you think about some of the greatest songs, they got three chords in them. I mean, I try not to overthink anything in my life or in my career, and that's the one thing that Byron told me when I first met him was just keep it simple, and that's really been my motto.
Well, the video Leaning on a Lonesome Song, is your performance in it, you know, is very simple in the sense of, you know, you're singing the song, and then there's some other action going on in it. So I like the way that video was done, because it had a nice, it tied into the song, and yet it allowed you to just perform.
Yeah, and that was done by John Kerr out of Calgary, Crow's Nest Films. And I lost my brother-in-law just over 2 years ago, and he had a battle with, you know, depression and addiction, and he was a great guy and one of my closest friends. And I wrote that song for him, and he had a son that was 14 at the time, and his son's been living with us now for the last 2 years, so he's basically taking him on as a father figure, and that's I was inspired by his dad. Wow. Unfortunately passed away, but it's one of my favorite songs. It went number one in Europe about 2 months ago, and it's done extremely well for us.
It's a beautiful song and a very traditional one as well. Let's turn back to the Is It Friday Yet album. We have another song to share from it. This one is the current single, and it's a lot of fun. I was watching on YouTube earlier you doing a live version of it, and you were really enjoying singing it because there's a lot of humor in it. It's called Must Be a Woman. What can you tell us about this one, Gord?
Well, I had a buddy of mine in high school that was a pretty crazy guy, and up until a few years ago, he never calmed down. And, yeah, I thought... we kind of called it. We thought he'd never get married or anything like that, and he kind of just cold turkey, just became a whole different person, you know, which was for the good, and it wasn't bad the other way either. But when that happened, I knew right away what it was, and it was a good thing. So that's how Must Be a Woman came about.
That's awesome. Let's share the song now. It's the latest from Gord Bamford, Must Be a Woman, on In the Country. And that is the very latest single from my guest, Gord Bamford. It's called Must Be a Woman, and it is found on his Is It Friday Yet CD. You can learn more about Gord at gordbamford.com. Gord, when can we expect the brand new album that's about to be released to be available?
Actually, I think the first single comes out September 10th, the day after the Country Music Awards, and mid-October for the album, and we'll be doing a select amount of dates right across the country with that. So it's right about that time.
Nice. Before we wrap things up, Gord, I'd like to get a couple of songs and the stories behind them, some of my favorites of yours over the years, sort of spread out among the years, starting with an early one, My Heart's a Genius. This really got you established, and people started to hear Gord Bamford for the first time. Where did that song come about?
Well, that is an old one. Yeah, I'm starting to feel old hearing that, but... I'd written with Byron, and that when I went down to meet Byron, he kind of said it was all about chemistry, and if we could get great songs, he would basically produce a record with me on spec and see what would happen. And so So I couldn't afford to have him as a producer at that time. So he just kind of stepped on board, and we wrote a couple songs, and they weren't that great. And my wife and I just got married, and I'd been in Nashville for 3 months, and I was getting kind of wore out, and I was supposed to write with Byron the next week. And I said to my wife, I said, I think it's time to get out of here. I said, this Byron guy's not going to really do much for us. I don't think anything's going to work there. So I'll just cancel this appointment. And I guess if it wasn't for my wife, you know, she said, I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, you should stay here and write with Byron. And long story made short, Byron and I wrote that day, and we wrote My Heart's a Genius, which was our first hit that kind of got us going. So that's how that got written.
That's an amazing story, just how different things could have been. Hank Williams' Lonesome,
yeah.
I grew up listening to Hank Williams. My dad's a huge Hank Williams fan to this day. And this song that you wrote, Hank Williams' Lonesome, uses a lot of song titles and lyrics from his songs, and it's a great one. How did that inspiration come about?
Well, we wrote that. Byron and I wrote that guy by the name of Zach Turner, who had a band out called, was it Turner? And it was a duo.
Turner and,
I can't remember the name. Anyway.
I know.
Yeah, Zach had that song title, and it was a little bit tricky because we didn't want to, you know, look like we were ripping off song titles of old Hank songs, but that's really what it was.
Right.
So it was, you know, a country song, you know, real country. I mean, it doesn't get any countryer than that. And, you know, I was scared to put it on radio, to be honest with you, but, you know, we took a chance, and it did really well for us.
That's pretty amazing, yeah, that a song titled Hank Williams' Lonesome could be on the radio today, and it's a great credit to you. The last song I want to ask you about, Gord, is a real fun one called Put Some Alcohol on It, and it's a fun up-tempo song. It's got a great hook right in the title. How did that song come about?
Yeah, that was written with Byron, myself, and a guy by the name of Roger Brown, who's written many hits, but just the song title that we had, and a really good play on words, you know, was, you know, sometimes you write the songs, and you think you got them good, but when you go in and produce them, they all change. And, you know, when you have some of the best players in the world playing on your records, I mean, that guitar riff right off the top is what really sold that song. And so it's so hooked. And then you got the play on words and the driving, you know, kind of anthem song there. And it's all a team effort, really. It all comes together with a whole bunch of people. But definitely, it was fun shooting that video. We did it out in the Shuswaps in British Columbia on a houseboat. And it's still one of my most popular songs when we play live. Everybody loves it.
Nice. A lot of fun. Gord, it has been a real pleasure spending this time with you and to share songs from the current album. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Been my pleasure to have Alberta country artist Gord Bamford here. His current album is called Is It Friday Yet? And a brand new album we can look forward to from Gord is coming out this fall. I'm Dave Woods. It's been another big night in the country.